Welcome, Susan. Thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
What I'm going to ask you actually is, you've been in radio profession and we're in a radio company right now for 20 years.
Yes.
The main question is, what do you say that has changed in American radio broadcasting over this time, which is usually whatever happens in America, it is transferred to us several years later for some reason, but that's how it is. So I would like to ask you to understand the future of our radio here in Armenia.
I think the biggest thing that's changed in radio in the United States has been a shift in how the listener and the listening audience relate to the voices. So like so much else in America, America's a very confessional society. People like to talk about their own lives, their own stories, their own history. And that has entered radio in America. So people want to know all about the hosts. And it's become almost customary for journalists, investigative journalists even, to tell you something about themselves before they start their stories, and even try and explain along the way how their own biases or their own experiences might influence the story. So I think the presence of the journalist as a personality is one of the new changes. And then the idea of, we call it identity politics and points of view. So you might cover a story, and the news part is the facts and the events, but then there will be a great effort to get analysis from people with different perspectives, particularly because America is such a melting pot. So you might cover a story about a large protest with the numbers and the action and the police reaction and everything else, but then you might hear analysis from an African American looking at it from their point of view, or a Latino looking at it from their point of view. So there's this movement towards it's not so much away from objectivity as much as it is a movement towards point of view.
So, would you say that opens up the journalist or makes the journalist more vulnerable in a way? And would that mean that they could get attacked for some reason online or bullied somehow?
Yes,
absolutely. How do journalists cope with that?
So journalism is under attack in America right now because of the current political situation, the current administration, and the most recent election really took the press out of the role of coverage and made it an active player, because candidates would target the press, people would blame the press. We had this phenomenon of fake news where consumers of news couldn't always tell where the sourcing happened and came from and what was true and what was not true. But also social media has affected people's understanding of the news, because many things are shared and repeated without actually being read or heard or listened to.
You mentioned shared, which means, would you say that radio is more protected in terms of fake news or getting their sources right, because it takes some production time? It's not just like this thoughtless see it, share it right now situation. So would you say in this regard, radio is a more safe medium for covering news?
I think it's more trusted, yes. I think that it's much easier to get the wrong thing up on the web, and that most of what's considered fake news is originates on a website. And it can be very hard. It takes some effort to trace the origins or the funding or the background of a website. So something is called Politics USA, which is a innocent sounding website, and they put a story up and you think it's true, And then when you go to investigate Politics USA, which is, I'm just making that up, that's not a real site, but when you go to investigate it, which no one ever does, you might find out that it's funded by a very specific political organization that wants a certain kind of news out there. So this is part of what happens, is that people share things and they go viral without actually investigating where they come from. So there are fewer radio outlets than there are websites. So I do think that the radio news is more trusted, but there's also this debate in America right now about whether the news should be about balance and fairness, or it should just be about the truth. And so, that's a philosophical...
So what's your particular point of view on that?
So personally, my personal point of view is that it should be about the truth. But, and I think in their hearts, all journalists believe that in America, but there's a lot of pressure from the people you're covering and your listeners, your audience, to be unbiased. And we no longer understand the relationship between bias and the truth. So if one side is just telling lies over and over again, that happens, and you don't represent that as lies, I think you're failing journalism. But there are people who say, if you don't represent that as just one side, then you're failing journalism in terms of its the requirement to be balanced. So there's something, the crisis in news in America is philosophical in terms of, well, what is the work of a journalist? What are they seeking? Are they seeking the truth regardless of who might get hurt or who might be saved? Or are they seeking some sort of equal time and coverage for everybody who's invested in an issue?
I just want to explore this issue just a little longer.
Sure.
If we have time. You see, we get, like all of us, we get here CNN,
mm-hmm.
and all the other Armenian American networks are not really that much represented here.
Right.
And I have been hearing a lot of criticism here in Armenia about CNN coverage of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
People saying like, oh, so this is your, you know, fabled American network. Look at what they're doing. They're not objective. A lot of criticism on this regard. What's happening in America? What kind of news the people are getting? And how would you evaluate CNN versus other sources? I mean, obviously, Trump won, which means CNN is not that much of a driver in the American politics. But what's happening to the media scene over there? And how would you justify CNN in a way?
Well, what's happening isn't new. So what's been happening for quite a while in American media is straight-ahead partisan media. The interesting part is that most of the partisanship is really only on one side. So Fox News, Breitbart News, these are openly partisan right-wing news sources. If you have that, and then the rest of the dial, so to speak, is taken up by CNN and MSNBC, where first they're trying to counter a long-held idea in America that the media has a liberal bias, but second, they're trying not to be partisan, then the landscape is very uneven in that way. The deep history of journalism is in America is strictly partisan. Newspapers were one-sided or the other. This notion of objectivity and fair and equal time and balance is a fairly new notion. And it's up for debate as to if it's possible objectivity, because all people are informed by some set of experiences and some set of ideas. So I think the problem for CNN personally, my feeling about CNN is that they weren't seeking the truth from the beginning. They were seeking balance and then decided to seek the truth. And you know, you teach your audience, either your listening audience or your watching, your viewing audience, you teach them how to watch you. So you set their expectations for them. And mostly what happened to CNN is that they upended their own expectations. And their viewers got very confused more than anything else. I actually appreciate that they at some point thought, we're doing this wrong, because we were normalizing something that on closer look shouldn't be normalized. And let's try a different approach, which is let's take as normal the Constitution or checks and balances in government. And that way, if this administration, which was fairly elected according to our democratic system, is messing with those things, then it's our job to say so.
So from what I'm getting is you feel that CNN now is doing
a better job.
A better job.
Yes, I absolutely think that. And so is the Washington Post and the New York Times and the rest of these organizations that didn't know what to do with Trump when he got the nomination, mostly because both Trump and his staff take as fact lies. So it's almost as if they're speaking different languages. And then if you and I are having a conversation, if we're colleagues at an organization and I say to you, I want to cover this story, and you say back to me, well, I don't think that story is in service to the listeners. I want to say to you, well, what do you mean by service? And you and I might have very different ideas, but you're taking your idea as objective. You think there's one definition of service to the listeners. But I think there's a different definition of service to the listeners, but we agree that that's our mission. Then what happens? And that's, I think, where the American media is in many ways, is that the Trump administration is taking their definition of security, of democracy, of executive power, of judicial review as objective fact, when a lot of the country doesn't even agree with their definition of those things. So before you can argue with them about whether they're doing it right or wrong, you have to establish what they're doing.
Okay, I see.
You see?
I'd like to shift a little bit and get to my other question, which is more related to the purpose of your trip. I follow news very closely, and I see technological shifts, self-driving cars, technology that helps you drive assist, etc., which pretty much means to me that you have people in the cars who are more free, their attention is more free, and it has to be occupied with something, ideally with media, and the type of media which doesn't block your eyes, but more like the ears thing. In Armenia, we have more than 450,000 cars, registered cars, and nearly all of those cars have radio in there. So what would you say is the future of radio and podcasting and generally, specifically like this audio, video, audio production of journalism? Can we be optimistic, or is Facebook taking this away from us as well?
Well, I'd like to be optimistic, but Facebook, I do think, is probably running the world. Are you asking me what I think will happen or what I want to happen?
I'd get a little bit of both. Okay. But
I mean, I think what will happen is more and more of this kind of citizen contribution to the news. So regular people will be somewhere and turn their phones on. And in America, the great example of this is in the final year of the final term of the Obama administration, what looked and sounded to the rest of the world and to the country like a huge uptick in the amount of police violence against Black Americans. What was really the uptick was in the amount of citizens documenting that. And so the proof coming. So police have been practicing police work in the same way for a long time and targeting Black and brown Americans for a long time. But the cell phone is fairly new, and people documenting it and sending that to news organizations quickly and easily, and the news organizations being able to verify it and put it out there, that's what's new. And I think there'll be more and more and more of that. And there'll be more and more available to people to start kind of listening to the whole world as it happens, especially the conflicts and the drama. But what I'd like to see is, or what I'd like to hear, is some sort of equal weight of this is the news, this is what's happening, and here's the story behind the news. So here's a conflict over land between Armenia and Azerbaijan, and this is what happened today or what's happening right now. But this... meet this family of a soldier on each side. So
here's, more personal stories.
Or just deep stories so you can, yeah, so you can understand here's what happens to this soldier's whole family. And here's what happens to this soldier's whole family or this soldier's town. And I think that if you're going to have access to audio all the time, some of it should take you past the action and into the resonant effects of that action.
Thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.